Aren't you glad he overcame? And we are overcomers because of that. We're talking about following Jesus. Following Jesus. Let's look at a scripture we saw last week, Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is what we refer to as the Great Commission, because it is great. It's the commission that Jesus gave us as he was ascending back to his Father. Matthew 28:18. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so as we are born again, as we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, we are baptized, we start this life with him. But salvation is the beginning of that process and beginning of a wonderful journey. Verse 20. Teach these new disciples, the disciples that started their journey in verse 19, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you and I are part of that group called the new disciples. That'd be a great name for a church, the new disciples. And we are generationally linked to the old disciples. I know there's old apostle church and there's new apostle church. But anyway, we're the new disciples, all right? Because those first 12 minus one, Judas didn't make it, but they did what Jesus said. They proclaimed him, they preached the gospel, and then they began to teach those new disciples to obey Jesus, which includes following him and then sharing him. And so we're here over 2,000 years later. We spread all over the world, the most powerful force on planet Earth today, the Church of Jesus Christ, in every nation, every tongue, every culture. Here we are today, and we are still following Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And so we have packed out Vacation Bible School. We have 600, 700 kids hearing Jesus today. We're raising up youth and young people. What are we doing? We're sharing the gospel with new disciples. We're building up another generation. And we're extending the kingdom of God's borders as we go. So want to share today. We're going to look at some of the key fruits or aspects of what it is to follow Jesus. But I thought it'd be good to be reminded today of why we follow Jesus. What's at the foundation? What's at the heart? What's at the motivation? I don't know if you've ever had a situation where, you kind of see a crowd. And when you see a crowd or a queue, doesn't it sometimes get your curiosity? And many times the reason a crowd forms is because a crowd has formed. And so, everybody, you see people looking at something and the first thing is you kind of like, what's going on here, right? And I don't know if you've ever joined a queue only to find out you're in the wrong queue. When we lived in South Africa, it was the most queuing culture on planet Earth. And you just queued for everything. But it was one of the most frustrating things, especially at the banks. You'd be so polite and you'd get to the front of the queue and you say, okay, I'm here to collect my checkbook. Oh, no, that's counter 15. And there's like 500 people in counter 15. And then they go back to doing their work, So, but sometimes you can forget why are you even following? What are we doing? And church and following Jesus should never be, we should never forget the reason and the heart behind it. And I believe at the top of the list of why we follow Jesus is because he loves us. He loved us and he loves us and he will love us. How many know in human relationships, it's not that difficult to give love back to somebody who loves you. It's not that difficult to trust someone whom you know cares for you deeply. Jesus took our place. He received our judgment. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, Father, is there any other way that we can do this? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Father, can this cup be removed? Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says that he tasted death for everyone. He tasted what it was like to be separated from his Father because of sin and because of judgment. It pleased the Father to pour out his wrath on his own Son. And he drank that cup so that we would never know what it tastes like. Oh, I can follow a Savior like that. Yes, he's our Savior and he's our Lord. But aren't you glad he's our Savior? You know, there are people down here that sometimes, you know, they want to be the Lord. They want to be the boss. They want to be the Bwana, but there's no Savior about them. They haven't done anything for us. They haven't helped us. But Jesus took us from the pit. He took our feet from the miry clay. Amen. John 13. And you know what? Jesus' disciples knew that Jesus loves me. They walked with him. They experienced the love of God in manifestation. The love of God in a human body. So Jesus, we're going to talk about this in coming weeks, because this is a big deal of following Jesus, this new commandment. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So that is the fragrance of a follower of Jesus, is this lifestyle of love. But he gives them a reference point. How many of you know, if you turn on the radio, read a book, watch a movie, everybody's talking about love, 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 love. Love for 5 years until I find somebody else to love. Love until you make me mad, right? Love until you get too old and wrinkly. But he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. But what kind of love? The love that I have for you. He was speaking about this love. It was real. They knew. And when he said, the love that I have for you, every one of those disciples, something triggered in their mind. They go, oh, that love. Not my brother's love or my sister's. Not even my spouse's love. The love that Jesus has for me. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. And so at the foundation of following Jesus is knowing that he loves us. And so Paul prayed this prayer for the church in Ephesus, who were born again and they were following Jesus. But he prayed this prayer, and it's an interesting prayer, because he says, I pray that you would come to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Now, that's kind of a curious prayer, isn't it? I'm going to pray for something that will never fully be realized. I'm going to pray that you know, but that knowledge is too much for your groundnut-sized brain. He says, I pray that you would know the height and the depth, the length and the breadth. He said, I want you to come to experience this love for yourself. And friends, guess what? God wants you to know about his love. And our bookshop is filled with stuff about God's love and how much he cares for you. There's books and TV, you know, CDs, and there's wonderful stuff. But how many of you know there's another way to know his love? Is to go have a taste. I could tell you about the greatest cake ever made on planet Earth, German chocolate cake, where two beautiful worlds collide, chocolate and coconut at the same time. I could tell you how the coconut crisps in your mouth, and there's that crunchy sweet that just keeps loving and giving to you, you know. And I could tell you all about it. I could put a picture, but I could just say, hey, have some of my mom's German chocolate cake. And you'd go, oh, now I get it. She actually puts caramel in the icing. Okay. Whole nother level. All right. So, So God wants you to know His love, and we can understand it intellectually. We can understand it, and that's good. We should. But He also prays, I want you to taste it. I want you to be more. But wait a second, I'm already born again. I'm already a follower of Jesus. Yeah, have another bite. Have another taste. And friends, and this is just in my own life. When I'm having a hard time following Jesus, and let's just be honest, is following Jesus easy every day of the week? No. Because one of the things about following Jesus we saw last week is to obey everything He's commanded. And the Bible says to love your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you. So here are these people attacking me. Father, how can we be good to these people? I don't know about you, but that's not always the first thought that comes to my mind. Right? I go, oh yeah. Following Jesus, obeying His commands, not just my carnal instinct, right? So to follow Him, if I'm having trouble following Jesus, so many times I realize is, you know what? I think I forgot a little bit of how much He loves me. I think that taste and knowing and experiencing, I think I need to have another bite. And put yourself in a place where God is loving you. Amen? So at the foundation, at the heart, is because, yes, Jesus loves me. We follow Jesus, secondly, because He has changed our lives. He has changed our lives. Look at John chapter 6. This is a great, great passage about following Jesus. So in the Gospels, we see that, so Jesus had these 12 disciples that traveled with Him. They were referred to as the 12, and they later became apostles. And so they were with Jesus, but we also see that there were other disciples, not that were, you could say, in that inner core, inner circle, you know, they weren't there for the last Passover meal with Jesus, but they were referred to as disciples. And Jesus sent out 70 to go heal the sick and cast out devils. And freely you have received, freely give. They came back, gave a report on what they had done. And so there were kind of other groups of disciples, other levels of people that he influenced. All right. John chapter 6, verse 60. And Jesus had just been finished talking about the cost of following Him and what that means. And in verse 60, in response to some of the things He was saying, many of His disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that His disciples were complaining. So He said to them, how many of you know He's still aware when His disciples are complaining? "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe. And He knew who would betray Him. Then He said, this is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me." Verse 66. At this point, many of His disciples turned away and deserted Him. Now, sadly, we don't have a text in John. This is John 6. We don't see in John 8, 12, or 14 that the disciples came back and said, "Okay, Jesus, we're back." We don't have that. Perhaps they didn't come back. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't lead us with a gun? Huh? He doesn't lead with threats. You know, I've heard of some churches where if you desire to leave that church for whatever reason, and you go and see the pastor, it's kind of like a death threat. Well, hey, you can leave the church, but you know, the last person that did, you know, the last three, they died, the divorce, kids became Satanists. But hey, if you want to leave, that's, you know. You know, if you can no longer tap my incredible anointing, you know. But Jesus didn't leave that way. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He turns to that guy and says, hey, are you going to leave also? So Simon Peter replied, I love this. Jesus asked a question to 12 and Simon Peter replied. And notice he didn't have like a committee meeting. You know, hey guys, you know, I'd be willing to speak for us. You know, Jesus asked us all a question. Do you know anybody? Do you know any people like that? Aren't they awesome? We need more Simon Peters in our world. Okay. Jesus didn't ask him to cut off the guy's ear, but man, he's just going to take the action. Might be good or bad, but he's just going to take action. All right. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. I love it. He's saying we. I'm speaking for all of us. We're not going anywhere, Jesus. But one of the reasons he says, you only have the words of eternal life. That life is my life. You've changed my life. I'm not the same shifting sand guy that you found catching fish. Actually, you found me not catching fish. But I'm not that same guy. Where would I go? Who else would I follow? You're the only one who's changed my life. You're the only one who has eternal life. I can't go back. I can't go somewhere else. Your words are life, and those words have changed my life. Paul the apostle, so he did not physically walk with Jesus as Jesus conducted his 3-year ministry, but Jesus appeared to him, and Paul became a follower of Jesus, right? He became an apostle. And so he mentioned this, and so he became this apostle. But he always realized where I've come from. Friend, you need to remember the first part of the DVD of your life. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Paul says this, for I am the least of the apostles. Wait a second, Paul. In our reading, in church history class, we learned that you were the top gun of all the apostles. You were the dude. You did more missionary apostolic work than anybody. And then God used you to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul, come on. You're the least of the apostles. You need to go to that self-esteem class, you know, and just feel better about yourself. No? But he said, watch what he said. He says, for I'm the least of the apostles, I'm not worthy even to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He was there when Stephen was killed. He was zealous to stop the work of Jesus. He said, that's where I've come from. But notice verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. And I labored more abundantly than they all. So now he's going back to, yeah, I did more than all the apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. New Living Translation says it this way. Verse 10. Whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. You know, it's a little bit disturbing in our day and age that there are people apart from Jesus, apart from his kingdom, that have discovered some of the things of the Bible, truth and wisdom about, you know, believing in yourself, and all these kinds of things. And so we have this huge movement around the world called self-help. And one of the reasons it's so big is because it is somewhat effective. But how many of you know there's no self-help for salvation? There's no self-help to change your life and to wash your sins and to make you the righteousness of God. That's not self-help, that's God help. That's grace help. And so Paul always was cognizant of this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Not by Paul, I am what I am. Now, have I labored abundantly? Is there stuff that I do? Yes. But Paul even recognized, but even the stuff that I do and all this labor, I'm plugged into grace. I'm plugged into Jesus. That is Him working in my life. And that's why in Deuteronomy 8, there was this warning when the children of Israel got to the promised land. And God was the one who gave them the land. God's the one who blessed the land before they even got there. And He says, and the warning was, when you get into that land and you've got houses and fields and there's this abundance, do not say, it's by the strength of my hand I've acquired this wealth. See, these are the champions of 2015. Look at that man. Look at that woman. Oh, she's a self-made woman. He's a self-made. Look at him. He's worked hard and he went and got this degree and 500. Oh, and he's just perspired and rah, rah. I worked and I want to aspire to be like. God said, don't say that. Don't even say that. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Graceful, thankful, and appreciative of what He has done. So when you know that Jesus has changed your life, when you realize, I'm not even worthy to be married. I'm not even worthy to have a job. I falsified my resume. Before I knew Jesus and I was following Him very closely, I paid the professor to get the grades that I got. You know, that happens in our city right now. Right now. How many know followers of Jesus don't do that kind of nonsense? They don't do that kind of nonsense. But wherever I am today, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. And because all these things, He's changed my life. And where I am right now, I realize, Lord, there's still some change that is required. Wonderful speaker. Henry Cloud, love his writings and his teachings. He said he had put on a lot of weight and he got a personal trainer and they were working hard in the gym and he's sweating and perspiring and it had been a couple months of working out and he told the trainer, he says, oh man, he said, when we started, I forgot to get the before picture. You know, you see pictures, I see them, people, you know, before, and then I was on this program, and 9 months later, you know, I'm awesome again, you know, and so. And he said, oh man, I forgot to get the before picture. And the personal trainer said, it's not too late to get the before picture. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus has changed my life. What I was before Him. It's not too late to get the before picture of your life. Tell your neighbor, keep changing. See, that only happens by the grace of God. It only happens as we follow Him. It only happens when we keep our eyes on Jesus. So following Him in my life, it brought me out of destructive sin. It changed a horrible trajectory that my life could have been on. I literally shudder to think what my life would be like without Jesus. I know how confused I was. I know how hell-bent I was to sin. And I know now as a pastor what sin does, unfortunately, because I've seen it. I've been to too many car wrecks to see what sin does. I can only imagine what my life would be like. I, at 47 years old, I promise you, it would be multiple divorces. multiple divorces. Kids all over the place that don't even know me or I don't know them. Financial ruin. When in the 1980s, I don't know how you can get some of this music, but to me, there was just music kind of out of the Jesus movement and some of these things. It was just so rich and so poignant, so wonderful. There was a guy, David Meese. He wrote a song. I think Gloria Gaither helped him. He wrote these lyrics. I don't know what I'd do without you. Lord, I don't know what I'd do without you. I don't know where I'd be if you hadn't rescued me. I don't know what I'd do without you. And friend, if you're a follower of Jesus, oh, I believe you could sing that song. Yeah. I don't know where I'd be. It wouldn't be here. It wouldn't be in the family of God. Have you ever seen the alternative ending of your DVD? Have you ever thought about the trajectory of your life without Jesus Christ in it? It's a horrible, horrible thing. I got this testimony from one of our members. They posted it publicly. I'm not going to mention their name, but they let everybody. So I thought I'd repeat it. As I've traveled on this journey called life, I've tried to find fulfillment in everything which led to addictions and alcohol, drugs, violence, sex, relationships, etc. How many of you have some etc.? For years and years, I went around in circles searching for that thing that would fill my heart. I found it in a very dark place. Jesus came into my life, and now everything has changed. What am I saying? That we all have a place in our heart that can only be filled with Him. Thank God, mine is full. #surrender. Awesome. So following Jesus means I realize what He has already done. Jesus, only you have the words of eternal life. I'm not even worthy to be an apostle. I'm not even worthy to be a dad or a worker or to breathe your air. But I am what I am because of the grace of God. Oh, my friends, He's healed me physically over and over and over again. Amen. If somebody came and told me, well, physical healing is not part of the redemption. Too late. I've already tasted it. It's yummy. I'm going to keep eating. He's healed my heart. He's healed my past. Amen. Following Him brought me my wife and the family that I have. That's what brought them to my life.
Well, Pastor, you must have really worked hard and believed God. You must have just been so fantastic to attract such a beautiful lady in your life.
Well, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. He blinded my wife for a few years. And the blindness is slowly wearing off. It's because of Him. As I was following Him on that path, I found somebody else who was beautiful and had blue eyes, who was on that path. And we said, let's do life together. It's because of Him I didn't pass the sins of my fathers to my kids. It's because of Him. It's because of Him I have this spiritual family called Miracle Life Family Church. The greatest people on planet Earth. We're interesting, but we're awesome. And I have this group of people that I get to do life together with. And you know what? For all those reasons and all that change, guess what? I don't know about you. I'm going to keep following Him. It's been too good. This path is so wonderful. Imagine what's coming up for the next 20, 30, 40 years. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 1. Sorry, Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. for you fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it. Will continue it. Oh, there's been a good work. And maybe there's some areas of your life where you're discouraged. Maybe there's some areas of your life where it's, you know, Pastor, man, I'm not seeing a whole lot of change. But you know what? Guess there has been good work. So stick around for the continue. Tune in next week for the conclusion of this story. I want to be around for more of his good work in my life. Amen. Now, his good work is a result of his good nature. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. A good God gives good gifts. Makes sense. Number three, we follow Jesus because he's good. Because he's good. Because he's good and he has a good plan for our life. Wonderful book. I think it's probably one of the top 20 books other than the Bible in a book form today. By C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it was an allegory that he wrote to explain redemption. Man has fallen. We've fallen after sin and we're enslaved and we've been captured by the enemy. But there's a Savior who'll give his life for us. And it is just a wonderful depiction of what Jesus has done. And in that, the movie is good, but the book is better. All right. We didn't say this in parenting class, but read it to your kids. Yes, there is a witch, but she's the devil. And she dies. Amen. Well, I guess it's witchcraft. Well, but it's Satan. Okay. So anyway, it's a fantastic book. All right. If you're an adult, read it. If you're a kid, read it. It's awesome. But so the sons of Adam, the daughters of Eve, these little human beings, they make it into Narnia, but they kind of don't know what's going on. And they hear about this guy Aslan, Jesus. Aslan, he's a lion. And they're asking questions. And so Susan, one of the girls, says, Aslan? Or they're talking to beavers. Of course, we talk to beavers, right? Right. Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he would be a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Is Jesus safe? Are you kidding? Read the book of Revelation. He's riding a horse and he's got stuff dipped with blood. And out of his eyes comes fire. Is he safe? Like a little plug point? Are you kidding me? He's Jesus! But I tell you, he's good. He's the king. He's good. He's good. And because he's good, I can trust to follow him. Is following Jesus safe? Of course it's not safe. Is it good? Yes, he's the king, I tell you. He's a good king. He's a good shepherd. He's a good leader. I can trust him. I can trust him. Now, you and I in religious circles have been told some stuff that's not true about Jesus. Job said this, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Job didn't know that it wasn't God slaying him. And Job said, I repent of what I said. I'm putting my hand on my mouth, and we still quote Job's words of ignorance. We still quote Job's words of deception that he realized himself. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He's never slayed you. He's never hurt you. He's good, I tell you. Is he safe? He's good. He's the king. We can follow him and we can trust him. Any pain that has ever come in your life, Jesus had nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with that pain. Nothing. He's good. He's the king. He's Jesus. Well, go to the Gospels. Where did Jesus spread pain? Nowhere. Nowhere. Thank you, somebody. Nowhere. He undid what the devil had wrought. Amen. Now, in following him, here's the pain. It's dying to your selfishness. It's dying to your human concocted silly plans that you wrote on a serviette. We're going to do this. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good. To bless you. To bring you to the end of a journey. That's what prosperity means. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to have a gold Mercedes with things that spin the opposite way. All right. Prosperity means you get to the end of the journey. Get to the end. That's the plan. Not to harm you. In case I needed to just clarify that, God said in Jeremiah 29, not to harm you, not to hurt you. Amen. So his way is right. His way is good. His way is what blesses his kingdom. And I will find my ultimate fulfillment in that plan and on that path. 1 John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus didn't come to give us a burden. He came to lift our burden. And all of his commands lead us into life. They don't stop our life. Oh, man, Pastor. No, man, I'm a single guy. And, you know, I got to test drive the car before I buy it. And, you know, you're telling me sexual purity. What a burden. It is not burdensome to wake up every morning of your life to know that your spouse doesn't have all this past of other sexual experience other than you. Ooh, that's freedom. That's joy. That's wonderful. Amen. It's not burdensome to throw away lying and deceit. How many of you know from your past, if you lie, you have to keep really good track of who you lied to? Did I lie to you and I didn't lie? That's burdensome. And the Bible says your sin will find you out. Ooh, that is even a bigger burden. His commandments, they're not burdensome. Following him is awesome. Is it safe? No. But it's good. The deceiver will tell you that God is withholding something from you. No. Eat of the tree. God knows that the day that you eat it, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. He's holding out on you. There's stuff that's so fun and so awesome, and it's on the movies and the billboards. What is it? Great nights. Mosey Beer, great nights. Great mornings, happy, whatever. What a lie! If you abuse alcohol, there's nothing great the next morning. Huh? There's vomit on your chin, morning. There's wasting away your money, morning. There's sleeping with somebody that looked cute when I was drunk, morning. There's losing my job in the morning. What a lie. What deceit. And that's the nature of the deceiver. John 10, verse 11, Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, is he safe? He's good. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a good leader. And he is a leader to be followed. He's a leader to be followed. We follow Jesus because he is Lord. He is Lord. He is the shepherd. You're not the shepherd of your life. He's the shepherd. And I willingly accept his lordship. I willingly. I don't fight it. I don't resist it. I lean into him. He's our master, our owner. He bought us. He's our king. He's all of that. You know, a lot of times, and it's a great thing to talk about. Remember Miles Monroe before he died? He talked a lot about the kingdom of God. So the way that God operates. And so, and it was a, perhaps it was maybe the one of the biggest parts of Jesus' teaching, maybe the biggest one. He would say, the kingdom of God, it's like this. This is the way the kingdom works. And so people talk about having a kingdom mentality, right? And so it's very good to have a kingdom mentality, but you must not forget there's a king in the kingdom. Well, the kingdom of God, I want to think like in the kingdom. Well, go talk to the king. Submit your life to the king. I follow him because I trust his love, his goodness. He has a good plan. But that also means that I have to turn, I repent from selfishness, stubbornness, sin, rebellion, because I know that his path is better. You see, when you follow your own path, and the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, each unto their own way. It's not like all the sheep are on the same path, right? They're all just going in their crazy scattered ways. But if as a Christian I continue to follow on my own path, what I'm saying is that I'm smarter than the king. Now, it's treasonous, but it's also, it has to be the definition of foolishness. The God who made the earth, the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the God who sees the end from the beginning. Guess what? You've done none of the above. And you're not willing to follow him all the time, all the way, in every situation, in every area of your life. No, I keep repenting. I keep turning from these paths that sometimes I find myself on. Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs has wonderful analogies about these paths that we can find ourselves on. The way, and they're good ways, and then they're foolish ways. And then they tell us what's at the end of those paths and what's along those paths. Proverbs 4, verse 18. Notice this. It says, the path of the just or the righteous. Tell your neighbor, that's my path. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. It just keeps getting better, keeps getting brighter for me to walk on that path. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. How many of you have stumbled in the last few months in the dark? Have you stumbled recently? Why? Darkness. You can't see where you're going. You're not aware of what's on the path. Following Jesus is a bright path. Now, in our day and age, in 2015, it's not necessarily the most well-worn path. Right? Wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. Okay, so not everybody's on this path, but oh my, is it a bright path. Amen. Look farther into Proverbs, in Proverbs 4. Look at verse 25. So if there's this bright path, if following Jesus, he's on that path with me. He's the light of the world. His word is a light to my path. So what should we do? Let your eyes, Proverbs 4, 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Do you even know what path you're on? Proverbs says, think about it. Ponder that. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Well, Pastor, I just believe everything's going to work out. Have you read the Bible? Not everything works out for people on the wrong path. Not everything just works out. Well, you know, Pastor, I just put it in the Lord's hands. Well, he's not taking it. He's saying, watch where you walk. Now be on that path with you. Oh, my. My grace will empower you. I'll give you my vision. I'll let you see what I see. My Holy Spirit will live and abide with you forever. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Oh, my. He'll do 1,001 things for us. But one of the things is he's not going to take our steps. Nor is he going to push us down the path. You know, and I know some of us, you know, years ago that footprints on the beach thing, you know. I only see one pair of footprints. And, oh, that's where I carried you. I can't find scriptural backing for that. Huh? You know, maybe there may be some places where my feet were kind of stumbling. That's where I held on to Jesus' hand and we made it through. There might be this big, interesting thing. That's where I fell down. And Jesus helped me get back up. Right? There might be these really big footprints where I resisted him for 2 years. And they kind of got deep. And then I got out of that step. Amen? Let's ponder our path. Are we following Jesus? Are we following him? I hope today that there's some more fuel to follow him. More reasons to help you keep walking down the road. When it seems difficult, when it seems like it's not worth it. One of the themes in certain literature in the Old Testament was, you know, God, why do the unrighteous prosper? You can ask that question in Lusaka in 2015. There's a whole lot of unrighteous prospering because of their unrighteousness. That's what brought them their prosperity. And you want me to tithe, God? Have you seen what this 90%? Can you pay my bills with this 90%? Are you kidding me? Follow Jesus. Let's keep following Jesus. Follow him with all our heart, every area of our life. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God wants to minister to us today, and he wants us to respond to him today. If you're here in this place, and you've never yet begun this journey, you can follow Jesus. He's good. He's still calling men and women to follow him, to be changed, to be transformed. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're here and there was a time in my life where I realized the path that I'm creating for my own life, it is just not good. It is not working. And I was frustrated and I was mad. Friend, life only works on the path with Jesus. Will you ponder your path today? I'm not talking about a church path or religious path or I got baptized as a baby path. I'm talking about him coming into your life, washing you, cleansing you, making you a brand new person. And then holding your hand and walking with the Savior, the Master of the world, the King of Kings, for the rest of your life. Oh, what a wonderful life. What a journey with him. And you say, Pastor, I've never done that. Maybe you felt like I can't do that because I've been so wrong. I've been bad. Maybe you felt like I thought I was doing that, but I really was just religious. I was just kind of going through the motions. But you realize I've never done that in my heart to follow Jesus, to accept him personally. Friend, you can do that today. Maybe you're like the prodigal son, and there was a time in your life where you were on that path and you were following Jesus. But you did what Proverbs said not to do, and you looked to the right, the left, and boy, you just followed a completely different path. A path of rebellion. A path that has left you broken, scarred and marred by sin. Guess what, friend? You can come home. You can come back to Jesus. He's still on the path waiting for you. He loves you. You can come home to Him today. You can turn. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never known Jesus. I've never met Him. Or I realize, boy, I need to come home. My life is like that prodigal life. And I want to come home to my Savior today. We're going to pray. God will forgive. He'll make you new. He'll change your life. He'll do what He said He will do. And He'll do it. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray that prayer today. This is my day. Wherever you are right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, just put up your hand real, real high. Just wave it at me and say, I'm going on the path with Jesus. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to give Him my heart today. Thank you. There in the back. God bless you. Who else? Yes, over here. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Father. Anybody else before we pray? He loves you. He cares for you. Before we pray, anybody else? All right. We're going to do this just slightly different today. But if you raised your hand, here's what I'd ask you to do. Well, let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. It makes it easier for everybody. But don't go. God still wants to minister to some folks. But if you lifted your hand and you say, I want to follow Jesus. I've never done that, or I need to come home to Him. Grab your Bible, your handbag. Just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. And by taking those steps physically, it's exactly what you're doing spiritually. I'm stepping out. I'm following Him. Can we give these folks a big hand as they're coming? Awesome. Fantastic. Come on. Oh, He loves you. He's a good Savior. He's a good shepherd. Bless you. God bless you so much. Thanks for coming. Thanks for stepping out. God bless you. What a great day to follow Jesus. What a great day to follow Him. Amen. Thank you, sir. Now, the Bible says that when we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, the Bible says we shall be saved. And so I want you just to lift up one of your hands towards heaven right now. Just say this with me. We're going to do what the Bible says. Say this. Say, God, I believe You sent Jesus for me. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead. Jesus, I give You my heart. Give You my whole life. I give You the rest of my life. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from wrong things. I follow You now. Thank You, Jesus. I'm in Your family. I belong to You. In Your name I pray. Amen. Amen.